Hi, everybody. You are listening to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm your host, Carrie Diamond. Well, this is our last official interview of 2021. I always like to end the year talking to someone who has inspired me over the past 12 months, and that person is Chef Millie Peartree. And yes, that's her real name. Millie and I got to know each other in late 2019 after her restaurant, Millie Peartree Fish Fry and Soul Food in the Bronx, was forced to shut down right during the holidays because of a problem with the gas lines in the building that housed her restaurant. It was a huge setback. Millie had just started to get some attention for her cooking and then had everything pulled out from under her. She's bounced back in the 2 years since, and it was by helping others that she was able to get back her Millie mojo. Last year, in response to the pandemic, she launched a program called Full Heart, Full Bellies to help feed children in the Bronx who are no longer getting school meals. She's dedicated herself tirelessly to the cause, and it's now a 501c3. Millie is doing lots of food TV these days, which she loves. She's also taking care of herself, and she is ready for a new year. Aren't we all? Stay tuned for my chat with Millie and get ready to learn about this very special human. Thank you to Kerrygold for supporting this episode and supporting Radio Cherry Bomb this entire holiday season. If you haven't tried their butter or cheese made with milk from Irish grass-fed cows, well, you are in for a treat. They're amazing products, and when you try them, you'll understand why Kerrygold butter and cheese has such a devoted following. We'll hear more from Kerrygold in just a minute. It's a quiet week at Cherry Bomb as everyone is taking a little break, but as you might know, we just put out a gorgeous new edition of our magazine. It's all about beautiful baked goods and the creatives behind them. If you're out and about, be sure to look for the new issue of Cherry Bomb at your favorite cookbook shop, bookstore, or bakery. Visit cherrybomb.com for a list of stockists and to find a store near you. Now for a word from Kerrygold, and I'll be right back with Millie Peartree.
Kerrygold is delicious, all-natural butter and cheese, made with milk from Irish grass-fed cows. Our farming families pass their craft and knowledge from generation to generation.
I'm fifth generation. It goes back over 250 years.
This traditional approach is the reason for the rich taste of Kerrygold. Enjoy delicious new sliced or shredded Kerrygold cheddar cheese. Available in mild or savoury flavours at a retailer near you. Find your nearest store at kerrygoldusa.com.
Millie Peartree, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Mm-hmm. I know how busy you are, so it's great to see you. I think I'd said this to you, but we always love to have someone super inspiring at the end of the year, and especially this year. I think we need inspiration more than ever. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't think of anyone who I'd rather talk to than you.
Thank you. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I love a good last minute. Like, girl, you want to come on down? Sure, why not?
So thank you for doing that. So I don't know where to even start. Looking back on your 2021, what are your thoughts?
Well, 2021 has been a blessing, better than the end of my 2019 and much better than everybody's collective 2020. I feel like now in 2021, I'm being rewarded for a little bit of good behavior, not because I've, you know, my Full Heart, Full Bellies initiative officially became a nonprofit and we're able to do the much needed work in, you know, disenfranchised communities and food deserts and everything under the sun, but, you know, and never did it for any reciprocity. But now I feel like I'm getting a little happiness in my career and something that I've always wanted to do over the years. So I feel like it's finally happening for me now.
Now, one of the big things that's happening is TV.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a lot going on. Do you want to walk us through the highlights?
So I'm going to be on this amazing new show called The Great Soulful Cook-Off on OWN and Discovery Plus. One of the guest judges on there, so you'll be able to stream and watch. And then I have...
So wait, tell us more about that show.
So The Great Soulful Cook-Off is the first soul food cooking competition show, I think, ever. It's hosted by Cartier from Delicious Sweet Brown on the Food Network and some amazing... other chefs on there, like Chef Melba. Of course, we all know Chef Melba from Melba's Restaurant here in Harlem, and Chef Eric, Nigerian, Guyanian, African, I mean, like straight from the culture type chef. And they was just amazing. I just felt like it was a good time. Like, I'm talking about the whole entire time I was on set, it was nothing but laughing and joking. And it felt like a family reunion. And I think that's part of what soul food cooking is, like that Southern cooking. You know, soul food is one of the six cuisines of Southern food. We'll talk about that later. But, you know, it just felt like a good time. Like when people welcome you with open arms, you just laugh and joke and slap knees and have a good old time. And
so are you the nice judge? Are you a tough judge?
Well, I mean, you know, it's straight shooter. Like, I'm not here to ever tear anybody down. Like, I feel like that's not what this is about. We're supposed to inspire and uplift one another. However, it's a competition show. And with that comes is some critique. I mean, they brought me on to be a judge. So therefore, it's our responsibility to give our honest opinions, but we're not there to like tear people down. Like, oh my gosh, like this is the worst. And we're flipping tables and throwing things. Like, no, we're not doing that at all.
Okay, that's one show. Tell us about another one.
I have my project coming out on Magnolia Discovery Plus. It's a soul food. I don't know what is it called. Hands in pan, stand and stir. It's just the way I do soul food. And I always say, you know what? There's many different variations of a recipe. You know, we all do things differently. I feel like collectively we all eat the same thing. Like, you know, pasta carbonara is kind of like a macaroni and cheese. I make a southern macaroni and cheese. I add egg, you know, in European cultures, they, you know, make a bechamel, you know, French. So I just feel like, you know what, if you want to make it the way I do it, totally feel free. But most importantly, I want people to make it their own. So if I'm making fried chicken, the takeaway for fried chicken is if you're deep frying chicken, you have to either use a deep fryer or a large, you know, Dutch oven or something that's going to hold all of the oil. We're going to talk about cooking temperature. We talk about all these things. But again, if you want to season it differently, season it differently. If you want to add something else to it, add something else to it. But I'm here to show you my version and you do with it what you may.
So when can we expect to watch that?
From what I hear, February of 2022.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few other shows. Chopped.
Mm-hmm. Chopped. I'm going to be a guest judge on Chopped. I actually filmed an episode earlier this year, filming some episodes in 2022. Worst Cooks in America. Supermarket Steakout. That was fun. I love Alex. Alex is amazing. And, you know, Chef Eddie Jackson. That was a good time. Another cousin moment.
You've what got else? Best in Dough.
Best in Dough. So Best in Dough is a show that's going to premiere on Hulu sometime in 2022. I'm a recurring judge on that show, you know, with Wells Adams from The Bachelor and Daniele, part of the wonderful Pizzano family. And it's just amazing show where, you know, it's a pizza competition show and you never know what can happen. And I got a chance to eat a lot of pizza when I was in L.A. I haven't had pizza since I've been back to New York, but it was good and it was fun and it was a good time. And I'm just happy that people think what I think.
That sounds like a dream show. Mm-hmm. Whose pizza do you love in New York City?
Ooh, pizza in New York City. I don't think I have anybody, a name or a restaurant in particular, but my favorite type of pizza is brick oven.
Okay.
Like very thin, a good undercarriage, a little bit of char,
an
but
undercarriage.
Not burnt.
Never heard that term.
I've learned.
Applied to pizza.
Okay.
I can't wait to watch the show. I'm going to give a shout out to my favorite pizza place, Pizza Moto in Brooklyn. And they do great pizza.
Oh, I'm going to have to go on down to Brooklyn and get some Pizza Moto.
I feel like we need a pizza crawl.
I'm down for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. 2022. It's so funny talking to you about TV. I can see your face light up. I know the listeners can't see that. What is it about TV that you love so much?
You know, just think about it. This, like, when we film content, it's not scripted per se, but it's recipe. It's very tutorial. We can offer some type of our personality a little bit, but within a short amount of time, because all of the stuff is edited down to about 4 or 5 minutes, depending on what it is, maybe up to 10, depending on the distributor or the content. But one thing about judging, it's a whole 30 minutes, possibly up to an hour, but then it's actually a 12-hour day. So this is the time where you're going to get someone's real per se. And I'm hoping that the edited version is the real version of Millie. I don't want the little slip of when I, you know, like the cut up moment of like, well, you did say that this is the authentic version of you. But overall, throughout the whole entire day, it's offering your opinion, tasting different foods, learning how someone does something differently from you, and then you offer your honest opinion on it. And the takeaway from that is you still have to be encouraging and inspiring as well. Like, you know, it's a lot. Like, I've never competed on a show before. So just to be honored to come in as a judge and being asked my opinion from that space is like, you know, oftentimes, you know, I'm a little bit more reserved because, like, you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Like, you know, you don't want somebody to come there and like, well, who the hell are you?
I would be the worst judge. I'd be like, everybody's great.
Well, I mean, because, you know, here's the thing. I did have a restaurant and all the reviews aren't great, but that's the risk of when you eat at a restaurant. Like, of course, you know, everybody that has a restaurant, your chef, whatever it may be, you always want to put out the best version of you, the best quality work ever. I take this, and I don't write reviews for restaurants. It's like, if I don't like something, I just don't go back. That's the risk that you run when you go to a restaurant. Like, you may not like it. So the other part of it is, you know, creating recipes and, you know, cooking at home where you know you can control the quality of the ingredients. You make things exactly the way you want it. So that's the takeaway from judging is like, you know, you got to kind of give your honest review. But then the back of their mind is like, well, I read the reviews on your restaurant. They weren't always good. But we all understand, like, you know, it's a job and, you know, we're just here to have fun and have a good time. And the contestants, you get a chance to win a great prize at the end.
You're giving me PTSD from when I owned restaurants and had to read Yelp reviews mm-hmm. and just, ugh, right. That was the worst.
I kind of stay away from it. Like every once in a while, like you read something, like if something comes out, like I'll probably read like one or two lines of some content or something I have to promote. But for the most part, I don't go into the comment section because again, when you put yourself out there, it comes along with everything. Like when you put yourself on Front Street, you got to be open to the criticism, whether good or bad.
Well, we're going to get a lot of Millie advice today, so that's the first piece of advice. Let's talk about Full Heart, Full Bellies, because that's something mm-hmm. you really become known for.
Absolutely.
Tell us what that is.
Oh, so Full Heart, Full Bellies is an initiative I created for children that were impacted due to canceled or limited food programs due to COVID. You know, during the pandemic, you know, I fed a lot of, you know, essential workers. And then when, you know, school started to open up in 2020, I never really heard anything about what the children were going to do for, you know, breakfast and lunch throughout the summer months. So I started the initiative and I partnered with some amazing people like Amazon and Restaurant Associates. They donated one of their kitchen spaces in New York, which was an equal blessing because they had a whole staff there that they were paying and it brought people back to work. And then we partnered with everybody under the sun, like Barilla Pasta, which is a great partner of mine, Coca-Cola, the Bread Gal Bakery, a locally owned bakery in New Jersey. And that's a blessing because they're a small business trying to strive through the pandemic and they were donating, you know, a whole bunch of bread. And then the list goes on and on from Bitsy Cookies to Pepsi and everybody under the sun. Sorry if I'm leaving out any names, but
I feel like I can name half of them. Tyson, Dole,
mm-hmm. Del Monte.
Had to unpack a lot of those boxes.
Yes, you did help pack a lot of unboxes. Aldi was our delivery partner at one point. They had a vehicle. I had a loaner vehicle from them. They brought on a driver.
Target. You did a lot with.
Yeah, Target. I love Target. And then,
they all love you.
And they do. And then it pivoted into, after we finished feeding over 80,000 children and families in the Bronx, it pivoted to, you know, food donation drives where, of course, you know, Kerry popped up to all of them. Like, you know.
Well, not all of them. Few of them.
I mean, you came to all of them. You did come to all of them. See, I remember who's there. And if you can't come, then that's cool too. But, you know, we did two food drives where we fed, like, I think over 15,000 people. And I'm talking about, like, and this was, like, I think, like, a quarter million pounds of food that we were able to deliver, like, through tractor trailers and everything. Then we did a back-to-school drive, again, with Target and Nickelodeon and with the back, remember the backpacks and the lunch boxes and the kids. Oh, that one was a special one with the little kids, and they got to choose their little book bags, and that was a cute one.
Mm-hmm. That was a cute one. Those are very cute book bags that you got. How did you even start this organization? You know, you were a chef beforehand. You weren't mm-hmm. involved in nonprofits. How did this come about?
Just trying to be a good person. I mean, the power of social media, you can slide in someone's DM. You can Google who is the director of marketing or executive of marketing or executive PR for any of these companies. And, you know, they were for it. And, you know, that's the beauty of, you know, just putting yourself out there. You never know unless you put yourself out there. And we're gonna do a Millie fact right now. This is why I tell people all the time, be careful what you post on social media, because in order for someone to answer these DMs, they're not gonna wanna see certain things. So if you put everything out there in a positive way, you get a positive response. That's all I'm saying. Do what you want, take it, leave it. I'm no judgment over here. And that's one thing COVID has taught me, you know, throughout the entire pandemic is, can't be so judgmental when I'm, you know, looking in my little privilege window out the window and I see people walking. I'm like, why aren't they in the house? And it's like, because they might live with 10 people in a 2-bedroom apartment. They need to go outside and get air. So, but do what you want. That's just a little tidbit of, you know, the reinforcing positivity and putting positive things out there, because you never know who's looking. And that might be a person you might have to ask something for.
So Full Heart, Full Bellies 2021, you mm-hmm. became a nonprofit.
Yes, we did. Official nonprofit. And
was that a tough process?
I think it was longer than normal, but longer could be relative because I've never applied for it before. But, you know, for the most part, it was the application process. Of course, there was a fee. And then we got it going. And the beauty is, like, when you receive that letter from the IRS, the only time you're happy to receive a letter from the IRS in the mail is when it has your company's name in the little clear window. Then you know it's something good, because you know you don't owe no taxes on something that didn't exist a year prior.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my heart stops when I get letters from the IRS. How can people help you with the Full Heart, Full Bellies initiative?
Earlier this month, we hosted a toy drive and food drive sponsored by Barilla Pasta, because I was on GMA and, you know, I met this wonderful gentleman by the name of Russell Smith. He owns the Russell Smith Foundation. That was a partnership with Honey Bunch of Oats, and we have all these toys. So we said, well, let's host like a little drive, and we have hundreds of toys, and we had a big day of just, you know, giving back to children. But how do people support? I mean, we still do have the GoFundMe. But most importantly, I'm looking to structure this organization. And I'm so new to this, but I'm so true to it. You know, I'm looking for all suggestions on how to run this and help continue to be impactful. Like, I'm very much on the ground, but I feel like in order to make this a bigger organization, I need some help. So if you guys have any suggestions or recommendations how we can make this bigger, if you're in the fundraising space, I want to do a gala. You know, I want to have a whole building where we have a kitchen incubator and we teach people entrepreneurship and people can pick up, you know, groceries. I want to have like one of those shipping containers and it's like a free grocery store, and I can get all my partners just to donate shelf stable products, and it can be open in food deserts. And I have a lot of big ideas. I just need help formulating it. And I'm putting myself out there right now. There's nothing wrong with asking for help, because you know what? Everybody doesn't know everything.
Well, if there's anyone out there who has experience in the philanthropy space or the nonprofit space, like Millie said, she likes to slide into people's DMs, so you can slide into Millie's.
It goes down in a DM.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it sounds like what you need next is an employee.
I do need an employee, yeah. So we need to raise some more money.
I was just going to say, first we need some cash, and then we need
an
employee.
Because, you know, I volunteer my time, but there's never any expectation of, you know, especially in this world we live in now, like people working for free. And even throughout the whole Full Heart, Full Bellies initiative, like, we do have volunteers, but when people are cooking food, when people are packaging food, when people are delivering food, that's where all of your wonderful donations have went, because I do understand that, you know, everybody's not in a position to donate their time. People have, you know, bills. I mean, we live in a real world, so we're looking for more cash flow. And, you know, like I said, I know a lot of people. If someone could just help me come in, organize, and I can introduce you to all of my wonderful CMO friends that can put together a gala, and we put together a plan and a strategy. That's what I would really like help with, because on the ground stuff, I got it all day long.
All right, folks, challenge accepted. If anybody out there, like I said, help out Millie. Millie, you are so passionate about making sure children are fed and don't go hungry. You are so focused and so dedicated to this. I was curious, our new mayor cares a lot about food and nutrition. Are you on his radar at all?
I have not met our new mayor. I would love to start a conversation with him and be on any steering committees he has for the city of New York. That's very important to be a part of those conversations, because listen, me, myself, the people that work with, including you, Gary, like, we don't do this for any reciprocity. I mean, I feel like we're all being rewarded for good behavior now, and that's great, and I appreciate it, and I love it. Because, of course, people understand, like, we have to make a living at the end of the day, but all of our donations go specifically to our causes. We are so passionate about it, and it's not about as our stars begin to rise. It's like, you know, well, the organization is put to the side. It's like, no, I'm actually a part of it. Because think about it this way. Have you ever heard a child say, "Mommy, I'm hungry,"
sure,
or whatever? A kid has to be hungry to say that they're hungry. Just think about if you have like nieces, nephews, children, and it's like, "Come on, eat. I don't want to eat. I'm not hungry." So if a child says they're hungry, you know that they're to the point where their stomach hurts. And it's a heartbreaking thing to hear, "I'm hungry." And it's equally sad to hear parents, you know, say that they don't have enough that month. And, you know, to stretch a dollar and to see somebody get online to get food, you know that they really need it if they're getting online. Like, no one is going to do this just for the sake of, I want to get something just to get some free stuff. I mean, we're not giving out, you know, luxury shoes and televisions. Like, we're actually giving out stuff that people need to survive. And I want to make it 100% known that, you know, I'm here. Like, I have a great platform. Like, you know, I'm out there. Like, I contribute for many platforms throughout New York City and throughout the country, and people know me for a lot of things, whether it's recipe writing, etc. So it's like, I know who I am, and I'm putting it out there, like, let's get together and work together, because I'm 100% committed, not from a monetary gain for myself, but because I really want to be impactful in these communities.
Tell me how you stay inspired and keep your spirits up.
Well, I go through a lot of personal things. Like, you know my personal journey. Like, I suffer from depression, and it helps me, you know, as well. And it's like, I never want anybody to feel the way I feel at times. So us being the strong friend, oftentimes that phone doesn't ring for days, and it's hurtful some days. And it's like, dag, well, people think I'm just that strong that I don't need a, hey girl, how you feeling? And it's like, I do. So I channel all of the things that I don't necessarily like in my life, and all the sadness that I have in my life, in my own personal, I channel it into helping other people. So I never want anybody to feel as if they're alone. They're not, they're overlooked. They don't know where to turn. They don't know where to go. You know, I'm that voice, and I'm that person that I would like for people to be to me, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does. How do you take care of yourself?
I do a lot of working out now.
I love to work out.
Let me tell you something. I joke all the time. I was like, I'm the most fit fat chick in the whole entire world. Like, I'll walk 5 miles a day. You know, I'll do my weightlifting. I'll do whatever it is, elliptical, treadmill, whatever it is. I just make sure, like, that's a moment for myself to decompress and, you know, gather your thoughts and listen to music or talk to yourself or pray. I'm a prayerful woman. Everybody knows, you know, I always say continue to pray my strength in the Lord, and you guys have been praying. But that's just my moment to kind of, like, you know, just channel things. And of course, I have to be healthy for myself to be impactful to other people. So that's the way I kind of, you know, help myself out a little bit. And, you know, being out, I don't go out that much only because I try to be safe. That's what I do. I'm on set. That's the beauty time. I get to get my hair, my makeup done, and that makes me feel great. So, you know, there's perks to coming outside and poking my head out the door just for a little bit.
So for folks who don't know you, tell us what Millie Pear Tree Cuisine is.
Oh, so Millie Pear Tree Cuisine is pretty much anything that you can think of. Like, I don't think I'm monolithic in the way of, you know, Black people, like, all we do is soul food and Southern food. And there's 6 cuisines of Southern food, from, like, Creole, so Cajun, Floridian, everything under the sun. But I just feel like, you know, I like to eat good food. Everybody knows when I come to the city, I'll go get me a Chick-fil-A macaroni and cheese, and I'll have, like, a little arugula salad at home with a big glass of water. But most importantly, it's eating what you like and, you know, doing what you like, and everything in moderation. So, you know, I balance out, you know, everybody knows I'm a Weight Watchers ambassador. So I balance out my points and my meals, and I eat whatever I want. And that's what I want everybody to understand as well. Like, eat whatever it is that you want. If you want to be vegan, pescatarian, you know, whatever works for you, that's what life is about. So my cuisine, of course, you know, I grew up in a Southern household. I'm very familiar with soul food, but, you know, I make a lot of Asian inspired meals, Asian my way, using Asian flavors, but not authentic. It's all about eating what you like and making what you like. And most importantly, when you make these recipes, you know, you give credit where credit is due. And it's very important that you acknowledge other cultures.
Yeah. Give a little historical and cultural context today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's not too hard to ask. One of your recipes was one of the New York Times most popular recipes last year, right?
Oh, my macaroni and cheese.
That's a big honor.
Oh, yeah. No, like I said, it's been one of, like, even my former restaurant, it was one of their critics' picks. And the macaroni and cheese still hits every year. Like, people just love that recipe because it's, you know what it is? It's comfort food. It's something nostalgic. And I feel like overall recipe and food tells a story. So when I make macaroni and cheese, I have a story for pretty much everything, right? I mean, I made a green bean casserole for the New York Times. That's the first time I ever made the casserole. And I think that was part of the story. Like, you know, thanks to Kristen, I think it was Kristen, one of the editors. I think I was like, you know what? Kristen asked me to make this recipe and it was good and I enjoyed it and it was a good recipe. And then, like, I think I made a
Did you have, like, the French's onions on
top? I didn't do the French's onions. Okay. I did put that in, I think it was in the top note of the recipe, but you know, I like shallots. Like, I love onions. Like, I'm a person, like, any species of onion there is, whether it's a shallot, a chive, Vidalia, I just like onions. I love the taste of all types of onions.
Raw?
Believe it or not, I like the McDonald's onions. You know what I mean? Like, those little dehydrated, like, mince. I could do those, because those are, like, steamed, right?
You're asking me. I have no idea.
I don't know, but
we'll
I like
to the bottom of
I like
that.
I like the red, like, red onions and salad and things like that. So I like do that raw.
I like raw red onion.
I could do raw red, because they're kind of sweet and they're not, like, oh my gosh, like, they're going to burn your mouth. But what were we talking about? We're talking about
French's onion.
So we're talking about French's onion. So I use shallots, and you like put like little cornstarch and flour, and you could like fry them up or whatever. But whatever it is that you have,
so good,
delicious, right? So whatever it is that you have, like if you don't want to fry up some shallots, get some French's onions. Or if you do not like onions, don't put onions in a recipe. So it's just all about the technique of the creaminess and the traditional history of a green bean casserole. So going back to what you're saying is like popular recipes, you know, I just try to write recipes that make people feel good, like something that's happy. And oftentimes I feel like desserts are the recipes that do the best, only because desserts are just straight. Either you like sweets or you don't. You like chocolate or you don't. You know, when you go into recipe writing, it's more or less, well, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that. It's like a dessert is like sweets or don't you? You're gonna eat it or not, you know?
Let's go back to that famous mac and cheese, though.
Okay.
Tell folks what the secret is to your mac and cheese.
I don't think that there's a secret to the macaroni and cheese. I just think that, you know,
your mac and cheese is so much better than most people's mac and cheese.
I think that it's the love that you put into cooking. I think overall, like if you, food is so intimate, you know, and if you don't like doing it, it's not going to come out the right way. So I think that there's a little technique involved, like, you know, when you cook your noodles, you're going to cook them slightly under al dente. So a little, probably less than 8 to 9 minutes, because you're going to put it in the oven with more liquid. Some people make a bechamel sauce, but I'm like, why spend all the time stirring on the stove when I can just add the milk and the cheese, or the half and half and the cheese, and then it bakes in the oven. You could stir it if you choose to and add more cheese on top for that crisp with the broil. So I just think most importantly, it's, you know, just feel, make food that feels good and make food that people want to eat. Because I can't eat a whole pan of macaroni and cheese by myself. So even if I tried, I couldn't. But I want to make it that I can share with people. So I think that's the beauty of cooking, is making shareable meals. And if you don't want to share, then, you know, make a sandwich for yourself. I don't know, a bowl of cereal. I love a good bowl of cereal. So,
all right, dessert. What dessert are you known for?
I guess banana pudding. I make a really good peach cobbler. So I do like a drop biscuit top. You'll be able to see that one on the Magnolia project. So
oh,
I make a really good drop biscuit. But banana pudding is one of my most famous recipes. And I say only because it's a traditional recipe, but you kind of shift a little bit. So oftentimes I hear people say that they don't like to use bananas because they get brown. But if you caramelize it, you know, you add some sweetness. And of course, that's going to change the color a little bit. You don't have to worry about the not so visually appealing of a brown banana, because the sugar and everything, it kind of gives it that color that you may or may not like. But you could always say, like, the reason why it's that color is because the bananas are caramelized.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Or make banana bread.
I love a good banana bread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't get rid of those dark bananas.
Do not. I freeze them, put them in smoothies.
Yeah, I do the same. Mm-hmm. I have a big sheet right now in my freezer, broken up bananas waiting for those smoothies.
Yep.
Since we're talking about recipes, I know there's something you would really like to manifest for yourself mm-hmm. in 2022.
So in 2022, I would really like to do a cookbook. It's been on my list. I mean, I see all your messages, your DMs, where people say, do you have a book out? And that's one of the things that I would really like to do, is put out a cookbook and just share overall my story. So it's kind of like a podcast and a cookbook. When you guys ask questions on what inspired this, you know, I just feel like oftentimes when we write recipes, again, there's a story behind it. Like, why did you write it? Where was the first time you experienced it? What did you like it the first time you had it? Because things I didn't like growing up were bananas, candy yams, cornbread. I didn't like sweets growing up at all. But as I got older, I'm like, okay, I like this. Like, I wouldn't have dreamed to eat a Brussels sprout, you know, when I was a child.
Oh, you couldn't have paid me to eat a Brussels sprout.
But
as
now
a kid,
it's like, what do we do all day long? Balsamic and truffles and, you know, salt and pepper and roast them high and crispy, crunchy. We have all of like these, you know, we go into all the synonyms on the beautiful thing about Brussels sprouts and the way that we describe them. So that's the kind of book I want to just bring, you know, just talk about everything from growing up in New York and kind of like a memoir style of Millie and everything you want to know about Millie and how I pivoted from the worst day of my career, losing my restaurant in 2019, to here I am now. And just overall, just inspiration, just letting people know that there's a blessing in everything. And I know some days it feels like you climbing up the rough side of the mountain, but if you continue to pray and manifest or whatever it is that you do to ground yourself, you know, those days will definitely get better.
It just seemed like a lot of rough side of the mountain, though. Yeah. I'm ready for the smooth side of the moon.
Listen, I am too. We're manifesting and praying for all things in 2022. We praying for, you know, positive relationships. I know I want a husband. That's what I want.
I've had a husband.
Yeah. But it's not for everybody. Like some people, they don't want husbands. They don't want children. You know, children, everybody knows that I raised my brothers and sisters. So I got a chance to experience raising children. And I think I did an okay job at it. Two of them are autistic. And, you know, like now they live independently. And that was another.
But you really did. I mean, you lost your mom.
I lost my mom at 25. Yeah. I'm 40 now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was really hard. And, you know, I struggled with having to put my brother and sister into an independent living facility, you know, because it's like, you know, some people feel like, you know, there's these sayings like, you know, family's supposed to take care of family. And I'm like, but I didn't have a life for the majority of my life. Like I spent a good portion of my life being a caregiver. And I like that I'm able to have a little bit more flexibility. I'm able to spread my wings a little bit. And the positive side of, you know, my brother and sister, they're autistic, you know, they're in an independent living facility, is they're around people that are like them every single day. Like they get to go out and they hang out with people that are just like them. And it's like, you know, we always talk about, you know, being in spaces that represent us and reflecting of us. And that's a better space for them, because I can't, you know, I can, you know, sympathize, but I can't empathize with being autistic. I don't know overall what goes on to it. So I feel like that was a great decision for me, mm-hmm. as well as for them and for my mental, and to spread my wings and grow. And now that I feel like, you know, that I'm an empty nester, I kind of like it. I mean, I'm not going to say I'll never have children, but I got a chance to experience it. And that's a blessing in itself. So now next is, you know, we'll do a book, you know, we'll find a very nice gentleman to date. You know, and
you're gonna go online. I might go online next year.
I've done that in the past.
I did. I met a great guy who I dated for like, well, more than dated. I mean, I've
you married him?
No,
you didn't?
But we were together for like a decade. So,
oh wow, okay. Yeah. So you had a long-standing partnership.
Yes.
So, you know, I've done online dating before. I met one really nice guy. Like we dated for a while. This was many years ago. He was cool, but you know, but now it's like, you know, we're in a different space. So, you know.
We've got a whole Millie checklist, everybody.
Well, yeah,
we got to fund the nonprofit. We're going to find a cookbook deal for you. We're going to mm-hmm. find a husband.
Right.
All
well,
these
like
things.
I said, we got a different Millie now. We need somebody that's equally yoked Millie. Millie's on television now. So, yeah, we're not looking to take care of nobody. We're going to put that out there now.
I know, okay? Millie referred to one of the worst days of her life and dealing with the closing of a restaurant, which we're not going to talk about. Mm-hmm. We did talk about that on our previous interview with Millie. And there's a lot that's been written in the New York Times, so folks can mm-hmm. look that up. But
along with my many recipes, because I'm a contributor for the Times.
Along
so.
With your many recipes. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
One of the best jobs ever, I can actually say.
Oh.
I love it. They're great people.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. We had so much fun that day when they came and filmed that video of you cooking in our old office.
Yes, that's when we were doing the overall highlight of Millie and what she likes to cook. And you see, it was a different variation. It was some recipes, you know, Vaughn and Scott put together a wonderful piece. And it was like, you know, recipes from the restaurant. And then, you know, we made something slightly different when we came to the office. So I think that was like the end of the year celebration or something.
It was so much fun. We were the beneficiaries mm-hmm. of an amazing meal. Let's wrap up on the cookbook, though. But yes. You have an agent, right?
I do.
Okay, you're mm-hmm. working on your proposal, or it's done, or?
No, I'm actually going to take a different route now. I worked on the first one, but now I'm with a new agent now in the cookbook space, and I think I need a writer to come on and help me out to get this proposal together. And like, listen, I'm a cook. I'm a chef. I'm many things. I say this over and over again. I'm like, I'm on a boot on the ground type girl. If you need me to be in action, I'm there. But overall in life, I think that we all have to establish what our strengths and weaknesses are. And, you know, I could write a recipe. Absolutely. I could write a top note. Absolutely. But to write a proposal that's going to snap jazz, and I need somebody that's going to add that little shitting thing, boom, pow, that's going to make an agent, a publishing house say, you mm-hmm. know what? That's it. And you need a writer to help you do that.
There are a lot of cookbook writers out there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we should talk about that later. There are a lot of great folks who collaborate on cookbooks, mm-hmm. who are writers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll have that conversation
off. I think that's the best way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Off radio. Mm-hmm. All right. What are some other goals for next year?
Other goals for next year. So, of course, I think one of the ones that's tippy top of the list is continuing to build and grow Full Heart, Full Bellies. I'm so inspired by the wonderful impeccable chefs, Jose Andres, and all the wonderful things he does with World Central Kitchen. So I would love to have that for my people, my community, you know, continue to grow across the country, because I'm not the world stage yet, but I feel like, you know, as my late mom used to say, you got to clean up your own backyard before you go into someone else's. But very importantly, to continue my work in the New York tri-state area and, you know, disenfranchised communities and help children and families that need food. I want to continue to grow in the non-for-profit space and develop a kitchen incubator where we can teach people entrepreneurship, teach people how to grow. I'm actually doing a greenhouse. I'm in partnership with NYCHA and New York City Parks Departments and Green Thumb. The greenhouse is sponsored by my bosses, my wonderful friends, my family at Weight Watchers and Target. So we got together and we collaborated on that. So we're going to actually erect and do this whole greenhouse.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Like I said, like I keep telling people, like, I need somebody to help run this nonprofit with me. Like, a girl can get a coin. Like, that's not the issue. We can get a little change from these people, but ultimately, like, we have to build it into a bigger vision. Yeah. And what that comes is help and support. And I need it. I'm putting it out there, guys. You know what? Millie is strong, but we need help. And that's why I need help in that space and growing to make sure we do the much needed work in these communities. And then from there, we'll have a team of chefs throughout the country, very similar to Chef Jose Andres and all the wonderful work he does. And we just need more people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we all work together, you know? Government, get a secretary of food. Like, come on. Let's get this popping.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Who else in the industry inspires you?
You know, outside of course, I mention Chef Jose Andres all the time, but, like, you know, Rachel Ray, love her. She's very big in the food insecure space. You know, Gail Simmons, Martha Stewart, Alexander Smalls, you know, Chef Melba. You know, there's just so many people out there, you know, Chef Eric, you know, Chef Kwame. There's a lot of beautiful, inspiring people out there that are just doing amazing things. Kristen, you know, from Top Chef, like, she's just amazing. And I just feel like, you know what, these are people out there that just do great work. And, you know, I'm just so inspired to be in the spaces with these people. And, you know, Pabna, amazing, another amazing, like, she was actually out in Hunts Point in the Bronx, you know, processing with
she
AOC.
Was, with her daughter.
With her mm-hmm. daughter. And it was cold. I remember it was like in the dead of winter. And if anybody knows about Hunts Point in the Bronx, it's by water. And it's factories, and it is cold. So it's not like the skyscraper. The wind can, you know, block off some of the impact. It's like, it's almost field-like in the Bronx, in this particular section of the Bronx in Hunts Point. So kudos to her.
Any New Year's resolutions?
I don't do necessarily resolutions. Every day I'm all about, you know, what can I do differently for the next week? I'm just trying to be a better me. Put my shoulders back a little bit more, putting me first. And I said, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know what, I'm not going to continue to pour from an empty cup. I think that, you know, oftentimes we continue to pour and give, and we forget about ourselves. But it's okay to step back and say, well, you know what, I'm going to take a moment, I'm going to take a breath for myself, and I'm going to prioritize my mental health and me first. So that's what I've been doing over the last couple of weeks, is like, you know what, it's okay. Not be so hard on myself.
It is okay. Mm-hmm. Well, here's to you filling that cup all next year and you getting the help that you need. You have been such an inspiration to me for like 2 years running now. And I got to know you because somebody slipped into my DMs mm-hmm. and told me what was going on in your restaurant.
Yep.
And you just never know when you read those DMs, like, who's going to wind up influencing you, changing your life, and just being such a ray of sunshine for you.
Absolutely.
And you've been that for me. And I just want to thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Like I said, so many things for 2022, right? Yeah. And one more thing that I do want to do. And this is for me. So some of you guys are familiar. I do a lot of Good Morning America appearances, mm-hmm. right? And we did one earlier this month and we celebrated a Harlem entrepreneur for all the wonderful work he does. My folks over at ABC, we need to take this show on the road. Me and TJ, we need to just pop up in communities and start giving out more money and helping people and giving people platforms. So that's the big thing for me. If I could take one thing from me. So
I love that. Well, mm-hmm. I sense a lot more great stuff is going to come your way mm-hmm. in 2022, Millie, because you put so much out into the world. And I hope it all starts to come back to you.
I receive it in Jesus' name.
Well, you're amazing.
So are you.
I'm so grateful for our friendship and, you know, always here to help when I can. All right. Well, Millie, happy new year.
Same to you.
You're thanks, the bomb. Friend.
Likewise. Takes one to know one.
That's it for today's show. Thank you so much to Millie Peartree for joining us. You can follow Millie at Chef Millie Peartree on Instagram. And if you want to help her in any way with full heart, full bellies, DM her. Thank you to Kerry Gold for supporting our show. Radio Cherry Bomb is a production of Cherry Bomb Magazine. If you enjoyed this episode, check out our other chats with inspirational chefs like Dawn Burrell, Sarah Moulton, and Sohee Kim. This Radio Cherry Bomb interview was recorded at Newsstand Studios at Rockefeller Center in New York City. Thank you to Hassan Moore, studio engineer for Newsstand Studios, and to our assistant producer, Jenna Sadu. Thanks for listening, everybody, and happy holidays. You're the bomb.